Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the 12th month, the 26th day of the year 2020, and it's the day after Christmas. Christ the Messiah is truly born.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, and all the angels and saints and Catholics and men of goodwill, all 10 of them. And don't let the apostate Jews or anyone else lie to you. Christ the Messiah is truly born. As a matter of fact, I just spoke with him this morning. The title of this Christmas season lecture is Faith Without Works is dead as a doornail. Not a doornail, it's dead. I always add the doornail thing myself, but faith without works is dead. Now, from now on, when I need to do an update, sometimes I have my updates separate from my lectures. I give lectures generally every 6 months on Christmas season and resurrection season. What I'm going to do is try to give a little update at the beginning of these lectures so they can find out what's going on and what's been going on in the past 6 months. Now, this Christmas season lecture, and this is going to be part of my, like I said, I'm going to do my little update now here, just briefly. I was going to do my lecture this Christmas was going to be called The Everlasting Earthly Paradise, The Errors of Millennialism, and The Heresies of Dispensationalism. I was going to do that lecture, but that's really going to be a big project and a very, very important one. And I wasn't able to get it finished and able to do the lecture for this Christmas season. Now, the reason I was working on that too is because I'm working on also, this is another update on my Bible commentaries. I'm doing my apocalyptic commentaries, which are quite intense and pretty difficult, and it's going to take some work. I was going to leave them out of the Bible, but I said that would be really bad because, especially today, we're living in the final days. People are looking for the true apocalyptic interpretations of the Bible because the Protestants got all their garbage out there, which deals with the heresy of dispensationalism, and they call it dispensational millennialism. They have these horrible, horrible heresies regarding that, and they're actually, the Protestants are the only ones out there now talking about the final day prophecies as it relates to the apocalypse and Isaiah and the whole Bible. The nominal Catholics hate talking about the final days because they're a bunch of chickens. They're scared. They're cowards. They love this world more than God. I know it. They don't want to talk about the end times. Please don't tell me we're living in the end times. I want to say this wicked, lousy, filthy, stinking, evil world. How could you want to stay in this stinking world unless you're part of it? But I, the hardest time I have is talking to nominal Catholics about the end times. Just don't do it because they don't want to hear it. They'll say either the Antichrist and the two witnesses already happened in Peter and Nero and Paul, or it's going to happen like 1,000 years from now, but not in my lifetime. Because I don't want Christ to come. I don't want to die and be saved. I want to stay right here on this wicked earth. But anyway, here's my point. Protestants are really diligent on this and heretical in certain areas that are pretty bad. But they're the only ones preaching it. So when I'm working on this, I understood how important what I just mentioned to you is going to be. And so that's what's taken me so long in getting my Bible out, because my last update, I thought I was going to get it out this year. And like always, it never goes according to what I think. Like it's going to go out this year or next year. Usually always takes longer and never shorter. So when I was working on this, I understood too how important it was for me to spend more time on my biblical commentaries on the apocalypse, and I do not want to put my Bible out without those commentaries in there. And then I had some other difficult commentaries I was working on that needed to go in there, and I knew about that. It was the prophecy, Isaiah 7:14 prophecy, about a virgin shall conceive. Well, you already saw that article I posted up about a month or two ago. That was important because I wanted to explain that exactly correctly the right way in my Bible. Now, that article took about 2 or 3 months out of my time. That's why it's taken me so long to get the Bible out there. But it is almost done. It really is. Maybe this year. I still don't want to say it for sure. But it is soon. But that's what's going on. That's why I don't have it out yet. Now, we're talking about the catechism. That's also important. And I got a lot of these sections already done, but we're reviewing them. And the ones I want to put out, as I'm putting out the excerpts from the catechisms, I want to put out the most important ones for the final days that we're living in that apply uniquely today. Like, there's no pope since 1130, and why there are no popes, because I don't want nobody in here believing there's popes since 1130, or not going to, condemning all the idols that are in the Vatican since the great apostasy began in 1033, and they started to appear all throughout Italy. So that needs to be up there. I'm getting ready to put up on how non-Catholics, non-members of the Catholic Church, cannot hold offices in the church. That's going to go up. Then I'm going to put up a thing about your modern things, about things people can do and they can't do. Like, you can't look at movies like Bewitched and I Dream a Genie and The Wizard of Oz and all these kind of things people think are cool to look at, about Santa Claus, about the reindeers, that heretical bastard Satan Claus who took the place of Christ, who's all over the place during Christmas Day. I'd like to rip his beard off and torture the bastard. Think what the Jews did. Think what they did. The Jews did this, who don't believe in Christ, and you stupid Christians, so-called Christians, go along with the Santa Claus crap. He's the one who knows all things. If you did good, you did bad, and this and that. It stinks. All right? And that's going to be on the abjuration. The Easter Bunny. All that stuff's going to be on there, because I don't want nobody in here believing that stuff. It's an insult and a smack in the face to Christ. I have a special extra on all these kind of things people think they can look at. Lord of the Rings, J.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, all this stuff you cannot look at that is condemned. So the catechism stuff, there's a lot of stuff. I'm still going to be putting up the excerpts, but once I put up maybe about 5 or 10 of the most important ones, one of the most important ones is already up there, excerpt number 1, very big. And once I get about 5 or 10 of them up there as excerpts, without the catechism will not be up yet, because that's still going to take some time. That might take 2 years. I don't know. But I know one thing, that once I get about 10 of those catechism excerpts up there, that's all the stuff you need to know to come into the church. We're going to require you to know the most important stuff. Right now, you already have all the basic dogmas on excerpt number 1. If you believe in all those basic dogmas, you're ready to come into church. So then at least I know I got stuff up there that I can show you and that you're going to have to consent to before you come into the church. Maybe 10 excerpts. Big one is about no pope since 1130, about accepting the great apostasy in 1033, about condemning the idols in these churches and condemning it as idolatry and condemning everybody that supported and promoted as idolaters and non-Catholics who hold no offices. You don't do any of that, you don't come in here. The first question we ask people is, do you believe idols are evil and ultimate offense against God and the cause of all the evils and sins? Idols meaning that you actually have these false gods in there side by side with the true God as if they are and giving glorifying them. And if you believe it's idolatry and you don't believe it's idolatry, get away from me. You're an idolater. If you believe it's idolatry, you got to condemn everybody that promoted and supported it as an idolater, a non-Catholic idolater. And then I show you where he doesn't have his office because non-members of the church cannot hold offices. And if you don't believe that, get away from us. You're not coming in here, and don't get near me. It's just Brother Bruce is reading a verse today, something that St. Paul is talking about. He said, put away the idols from you. Put away your idols. Put away your idols. Everybody that walked into that St. Peter's Basilica and those idols and those false gods were on the door, and they're walking in and looking at Jupiter and Janus. They go inside and look at Apollo and Venus and all the false gods, and they don't put it away. And they go in the church, and they don't turn away and walk away from the church and condemn everybody that did it. You're all guilty too. God doesn't play no games. You want to tell God on your judgment day that that's okay? Go ahead. See what's going to happen. Straight to hell. The deepest pits of hell. So the catechism, I need to get at least 10 excerpts up on that. Or maybe 10 or maybe less even. But so that you consent to that, you can come into the Catholic Church. And we'll first make you a catechumen. And we'll test you for a while. And then when you pass your test and we see everything's going okay with you, then you can come into the church. Now we're going to get on with our lecture that faith without works is dead. Dead is a doornail, as I say. Now, this heresy is very popular among Protestants. It was started with Luther, where he came along and said, all you got to do is believe in Jesus and you're saved. You don't got to obey the commandments. You don't got to do good works. It doesn't matter how much you sin, how many sins you commit, how bad those sins you commit, and if whether you repent or not, you're saved as long as I believe in Jesus. Now, Your average person who has some goodwill knows that that stinks to the high heavens. It doesn't even make sense. It turns God into an unjust, evil God. Why did God punish the Jews in the Old Testament with cursing them with death and everything when they sinned and bound them to the commandments and you're not going to be bound in the New Covenant era? They have to obey the commandments. They have to be good. They have to do good. But we don't. Because we believe in Jesus. You're using belief in Jesus as an excuse to commit your sins. You're turning Christ into the devil. But I'm going to, this is something I want, the reason I picked this lecture is because it's not too difficult. I didn't have to prepare a long time for it. And I've been wanting to do this for a long time. There's literally in the Bible, hundreds, New Testament, hundreds of verses where you, it tells you, you need to do good works. You need to obey God's commandments. You cannot be an obstinate sinner or you will not be saved. Hundreds in the New Testament. And I'm not even going to be able to list them all here because we'll be here for like a day. I picked out some of the key ones and I said, I just want to quote them to you to let you show you how bad-willed these Protestants are. And guess what? I'm going to read from their own Bible, the King James Bible. It's in your own Bible. The one you read every day, but there's a veil of darkness over you, just like with the Jews, a veil of darkness that prevents you from understanding it. And my prayer during this lecture is that God will remove that veil of darkness from you, so you can now look at these scriptures and see them for what they are, because you're under a diabolical delusion from the devil, just like the Jews are too, when they can't understand Christ as the Messiah from the Old Testament prophecies. I pray for them also. Obviously, so that they would be accepting Jesus Christ. But I don't want them, when they convert, coming into your false church, believing your nonsense. And I believe if there's a good-willed Jew out there that will convert, he ain't going to come into your church. You mean to tell me I can be an obstinate fornicator, rape people up to the day of my death, and love what I'm doing and never repent, and God's going to let me get in heaven like that? I don't got to obey his commandments. That's not, it's even against the natural law what they teach, but boy, are they mesmerized by this. Now, we're going to start out with the first verse from the, and I'm now quoting from the King James Bible. All you Protestants, open up your Bibles and clean the wax out of your ears, or I hope it's not cement. If it's cement, I like to take a drill and I hope I don't go too deep. If I do, well, then it pierces your skull. I don't want that to happen. I don't. But eventually, you are going to die, and if you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. So I want you to listen to what I'm saying here when I quote these verses. I'm going to start out with the famous one on James 2, 20 to 26. But what thou know, a vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only? Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them away another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, the King James Bible has James in here. Now, some of them rejected the whole James. I don't know the whole history on that, but I think they say Luther called it an epistle of straw, but it's in the modern King James Bible. Here's the point, though. Even if you threw out the James epistle, because of this one verse, maybe, that really tears you to pieces on your heresy, there's hundreds of others. So the other ones I'm going to be converting is not James. It's from the rest of the New Testament. And I just picked out a few. We're going to go on with them and hammer you with them. Now, if you say that God only judged people according to their works in the Old Testament era, as quoted in Psalm 61:13, where it says, "And mercy to thee, O Lord, for thou wilt render to every man according to his works." Psalm 61:13. Now, you say, well, that was the Old Testament. Well, okay, and I'm going to read the New Testament, okay? Which copies that exact same thing, okay? King James Version, Matthew 16:27. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father. This is Jesus Christ talking with his angels. And then he shall render to every man according to his works. Apocalypse 22, 12 to 13. Behold, I come quickly, says Jesus Christ. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. And we also read right here, Jesus saying, and shall come forth they who have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. If you do evil, you go to hell, believer or an unbeliever. Watch. We're going to read in Matthew 25, 41 to 46. Then shall he say unto them, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall I answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee as hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, or ministry? And he says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. If you don't feed the poor, if you don't do good works when you should, he's talking to believers. You go to hell. You go to hell. You're on the left if you don't do these good works. Those are good works that you should do. When you're required, and you can't always do good works because you're not in a position to do it. But when you're compelled to do it, and it's proper to do it, and you have the opportunity to do it. Now, we're going to read again in Matthew 3, 8 to 10. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you, this is St. John the Baptist talking, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up the children of Abraham. And now you also, the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be hewn and cast into the fire. Now, St. Paul says in Romans 2, 5 to 6, God will render to every man according to his deeds. Romans 11, 20 to 21. He's talking about the Jews and how they were cut off because of unbelief and that they can be grafted back in. And he's warning the Gentiles. He's warning the Gentiles. He's warning the believers. St. Paul, warning the Christians. If you do bad like they did bad, you will be cut off and they're going to be grafted back in. But I'm just going to quote the end part here. Romans 11, 20 to 21. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. But not be ye not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. He's telling you, faith is not enough. You also got to do something, because you can sin and you can be cut off. We read about Galatians 6, 8 to 9, St. Paul says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. He's talking to believers, St. Paul, to Christians, saying that you can fall away. If you soweth according to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption and be damned. St. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:17, the Father judges according to every man's work. Now, St. Paul gives a list of sins that send people to hell. He's talking not just to unbelievers, but to believers. He's talking to all men. That's going to be made clear when I read these verses. And he's telling these people, if you commit any one of these sins and die unrepented, you're going to hell. This is to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10. King James Version. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians 5, 11, verse 11 and verse 13, he says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother. Be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, not so much as to eat. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. He's talking to believers here. It's going to be, now we're going on to this other verse. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you now in the time past, that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He makes no distinction between believer and unbeliever. You do those things unrepented, you don't inherit the kingdom of God, you go to hell. He's going to make it even more, again, now when you read Jesus talking here, in Luke 12, 45 to 46, that's what we read our Lord Jesus Christ says. Luke 12, 45 to 46, if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the manservant and the maidens, and to eat and drink and to be a drunkard. And Jesus is talking about someone who's a Christian. You'll see that at the end. The Lord of that servant will come in the day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and he will cast him asunder, and he will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So that's a believer. And he's saying, but you're going to be thrown down with the unbelievers into hell. He's talking to believers. If you beat your servant unjustly, if you're a drunkard, you go with the unbelievers, you believers, you Christians, we say it many times. Only Catholics are true Christians anyway, but very few Catholics go to heaven. Even true Christians, most of them, end up dying and going to hell because they're guilty of mortal sins of immorality. Not against the faith, but against what St. Paul's speaking here. If you're a drunkard and you die as an unrepentant drunkard, you're going to hell. I tell that to many people. They don't want to listen. You don't listen? Tough. That's your problem. And the Protestant says, who cares? You can be a drunkard. You can be a fornicator. It doesn't matter. They might say, well, you might not get such a high reward in heaven, but you're still saved. So who cares? You know, and I say, if all you got to do is believe in Jesus, then you don't even need to pray. Think about it. You don't need to pray. You just believe it. I believe in Jesus. Do your altar call. The filthy Protestants, come down and give your life to Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. I'm going home with a cushion sword under your elbow, and now you feel you can go out and do whatever you want, and you're going to go to heaven when you die. What false confidence they have. When I was out there working in the world as an optician, I used to witness to some of these. And one Protestant I'm witness to me goes, well, I'm not worried. I know where I'm going when I die. And they walked out with a smile on their face. I know what? You know where you're going when you die. Boy, you're going to be surprised. Just like the Muslims who think they know where they're going to go when they die. They think they're going to heaven. The Mormons think they're going to heaven. But it ain't going to happen. Straight to hell. And what a surprise you're going to get on your judgment day. Now, again, St. Paul says here, and this is Ephesians 5, 1-5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Now we know he's talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. They say not convenient. I don't like that word, but that's the King James. I'm quoting King James. But rather giving to thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath inheritance with the kingdom of Christ and of God. And he's talking to believers there. If you do any of those things, you ain't going to be saved. What Bible are these people reading? You know, a veil of darkness is a scary thing. It's like looking at a white wall and you see it black. Or you look at a black wall and you see it white because it's a curse. So I'm praying for God first to give you the grace to lift that veil. And first, God's grace goes before everything. I agree. You need God's grace. You can't do anything good. So we pray God gives you the grace, and my preaching now is going to strike into your heart, and you're going to listen to what I'm saying. Look, now we're going to, again, Apocalypse 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. No distinction between believer and unbeliever. Romans 1:28-32. Here's the one with the Romans 1 curse where St. Paul gives a whole list of sins. I'm only going to call part of it, the last part. Romans 1:28-32, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind due to the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, Christians knowing the judgment of God, believers, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Are worthy. Those who do things are worthy of death. Our verse says those who consent to them are also. So he's saying, who knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death. And he doesn't mean just death. He means damnation, as you all the other quotes are proving, right? Then we read 1 John 1:6. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not have the truth. You commit any of these mortal sins, you're guilty. You're not really walking with Christ. You're in darkness. You're not in light. Think about what they're saying. You could, all you got to do is believe in Jesus and you can go out and rape little boys till kingdom come. You could cut them up and rape them and rape your neighbor's wife and you can do all that and you're saved in Jesus' mercy. What a mockery you're making. Remember in the one verse where it says they make a mockery out of God's grace, turning his grace into riotousness. Turning the grace of God into riotousness is an excuse to go on committing your sins. Now we're going to get into the next section here where we see you must obey God's commandments and keep his ways to be saved. Again, King James Version, New Testament, and we start out with Matthew 19:17. This is Jesus speaking. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. All 10 of them. Can you count? Count them. All 10 of them. Keep the commandments. And there's my other commandments too. That's Jesus speaking. If you don't keep the commandments, you don't enter into life. You enter into hell. All right? Belief alone is not enough. That's Jesus speaking. That's your King James Version I read from. As I'm reading all these verses. Let's read Romans 6:16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Talking to believers. Disobey, death. Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You don't obey him, you don't get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost only dwells in sanctified souls that are in a state of grace. That means they're Catholics, because only Catholics can be in a state of grace, and they're not Catholics who are not guilty of mortal sin. Those are the only people that are pleasing to God and on the road to heaven. We read in Luke 11:28, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. If you're not, you're not blessed, you're cursed. We read in Luke 8:21, where Jesus is saying, my mother, my brethren are these that hear the word of God and do it. And if you don't, you're not his brother. You're not part of him. We read in John 1:9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. You must abide in all his doctrines, dogmas of the church. Or if you're a formal heretic or an idolater, you fall out. A formal heretic, a lot of your heretics still profess belief in Jesus, but they hold on to all kinds of heresies. Now look, this is another biggie. This is what I call another biggie ones. Matthew 7:21-23. It's right in your King James Version Bible, which I'm reading. Not everyone that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are believers. Lord, Lord, Jesus, my Messiah. I believe in you, Jesus. Not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, Jesus, Lord, Lord Jesus Christ? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them that I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. How's that one? These Protestants doing all these miracles by the power of the devil? And you're out there professing belief in Jesus Christ? He's talking about even real true Catholics who may have the power to do miracles. They can go to hell too. He'll give the miracle for the benefit of the other person, but the Catholic, even a Catholic miracle worker can go to hell. Even if he has the power to do all miracles if he commits any of these sins. Belief alone, he's talking to no other than Christians. All right, now we're going to read Luke 6:47-49. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth me, my sayings, and doth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like the man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doth not, it is like the man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, which the stream did beat vehemently, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great, because he did not obey God's commandments. He says, I believe in you, Jesus, but he did not follow God's laws. He did not keep God's ways. He compares it to a house built on sand that collapses and goes down to hell. All right, now we're going to read John 8:30, verse 31-35. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, they believed him, the Christians, Christian Jews, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Conversely, if you do not keep his word and do what he tells you, you will not see life. You will see death. You will go to hell forever. Luke 10:25-28. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, these works you do, and you shall live. And if you do not do them, you shall die and go to hell forever. Romans 2:13. This is another blockbuster St. Paul verse. Because they take out of context. A lot of times when Paul takes about the law, you can take them out of context to hold their heresy. And that's what they do. They take Bible verses out of context without considering the other Bible verses. And they do it willfully. They got to ignore everything I just said to you. But who they say, oh, St. Paul said you don't got to keep the law. You're not under the law. I'm going to tell you what he means in my either in the second part of this lecture, or I'm going to do another lecture on it in a month. So I'm not. That's something that may be another part. But I'm going to tell you what St. Paul says right here. In Romans 2:13. Now open up your books very carefully. Did you open them up now? Get to the page. Did you find the page? Pick up the book and read it. Don't lie. Get your book. Don't hide. Don't be scared. Pick it up. Now go to Rome. Did you turn to the chapter Romans 2:13? You want to read it along with me? For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. The doers of the law, not just belief in Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, us Catholics don't have that false confidence the devil gives Protestants that they're saved just by believing in Jesus. St. Paul said, we know his famous verse in Philippians 2:12. With fear and trembling, work out your salvation. He said, Brethren, with fear and trembling work out your salvation. We cannot be assured of our salvation. We can have a moral confidence that we might be pleasing to God, but you can never be totally sure. And even if you're pleasing to God today, which I hope I am, I could fall away tomorrow. So we don't have that false confidence that the devil gave these Protestants. Why should I fear? Why should I tremble? I believe in Jesus. I can do whatever I want. This is totally contrary to true Christianity. That's why we see only true Catholics are true Christians. Now I'm going to read what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that they may obtain. And every man that striveth for the ministry is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run. Not as uncertainty, so I fight not as one that beateth in the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, at least by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. And he doesn't mean like on Gilligan Islands. He doesn't mean that kind of a castaway when you're castaway on an island. That's another goofy movie, by the way, folks. That's going to be on the list of a goofy movie. Some movies aren't like heretical, maybe, or moral, but they're just goofy, buffoonish. Castaway, he means damned, in damnation. That's St. Paul talking, all right? Now, Hebrews 4:1. Again, St. Paul. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Short of entering into his rest. And you know what that means, everlasting life. And you come short of it, where do you end up? Everlasting damnation. He's talking to Christians. 1 Peter 1:10-11. This is St. Peter. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you don't give diligence, you can't be sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto everlasting King, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You must be diligent. You must be observant. You must work out your salvation in fear and trembling to keep his commandments and to do good works and to not commit mortal sins. And if you commit mortal sin, to confess them and repent before you die. Why should you worry about any things if I just believe in Jesus? This is all a lie, what St. Paul is saying. It's all superfluous. It doesn't matter. It's actually contradictory even. Contradictory. Now we're going to read here that the love of God is necessary for salvation. You could believe in God but not love him. There's many things people believe in. The devils believe in God, but they don't love him. So you got to love. Love of God is necessary for salvation. Not just a bare belief in him. Love of God is charity, by the way. Charity is supernatural love. That's simply what it is. Loving God, only Catholics can have charity, really. Only believers can have charity. You know, supernatural love of God, doing things because you have or your neighbor even, charity towards your neighbor, supernatural love of your neighbor for the sake of God, because God told you to do it, because you love God, you love his creatures, and you will for them to be saved. That's charity. And say Paul's saying, if you don't have the true love of God, and even of your neighbor, but he's talking, which is charity, you can't be saved no matter what. You can have faith, you can believe in Jesus, you can do miracles. If you don't have charity, the love of God, supernatural love of God in your neighbor, you ain't got nothing. Nada. Nothing. This is another big verse. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith, not just belief now, but faith so that you can remove mountains, a strong faith and belief in God, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and hath not charity, it profiteth me nothing. A lot of times people, they believe in God because they want to get the favors from him, they want to get the goodies from him, but they don't really love him. It's a dead faith. It's not a living faith. But here we're learning, this is what charity is, right? Even Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says somewhere else, Jesus, John 15, 14, I think, if you are my friends, if you do the things I command you, and I love only if you do the things I command you, will you then love me? Jesus says that many times. So the love of God even. Now, here's another thing. Getting baptized and receiving the Holy Eucharist are necessary for salvation. All right? If I just got to believe in Jesus, then why get baptized? Well, I received the Holy Eucharist. They don't even believe in the Holy Eucharist, but they do believe in the bread and wine like as a meal. And they receive it, but you don't have to. Jesus wasn't really telling me I needed to do this to be saved, was he? Oh, open up your Bibles again, Mr. Protestant, and stop listening to your bastard Protestant preachers. I had one preacher I heard the other day that set me off on all of this. He came out, and he's a famous guy, John MacArthur. And he came out and he said, if anybody tells you you need to do works, and faith alone cannot save you, he's preaching another gospel.
And we come back to this wonderful epistle of Paul, written very early in his ministry, the first of his epistles, to confront the constant problem of people corrupting the gospel. People do it because demons do it, because Satan does it. It is the strategy of hell always to corrupt the gospel. The gospel alone saves, and therefore Satan wants to confuse people about the gospel. God's plan of salvation through faith alone, apart from works, and there is the endless heresy that salvation comes by works. Some works, all works, some ceremonial works, some ritualistic works, some philanthropic works, some moral works, some religious works, but some works. Satan can only corrupt the gospel one way. It is salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from works. So when Satan adds anything to faith alone, that is the corruption of the gospel.
Well, I'm proving to you that he's preaching another gospel. He's the one. Remember Galatians, Galatians 1:8? For though we are an angel from heaven, shall preach another gospel, other than we have preached unto you, let it be an anathema. He's actually the one who's preaching. He's saying we're preaching another gospel. I just quoted about, like, I don't know how many here now, 30 bombshells at you, pal. 30 bombshells at your big lie. Your big stinking lie. You want to believe it? That's your problem. Now, I want to ask you something when I read these verses. Is Jesus Christ advising you to get baptized or counseling you so you don't have to? But it would be nice. Let me read them to you. John 3:5, first. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, baptism, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, Jesus is saying, if you're not baptized, you can't enter the kingdom of God. All right? Now, about the Holy Eucharist. John 6, 54. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. And if you don't, you don't have eternal life. This is not a counsel. This is not a nice idea. We have a good thing or a little addendum. It is absolutely necessary. How a guy as smart as that John MacArthur and a lot of them are can say that? You know, it has nothing to do with intelligence. It's all the heart. It's all the heart. You can be the smartest person in the world, but a big stupid idiot in the long run, and have not true wisdom because you're a liar. And the worst liars are smart people because they make up smart lies. They try to twist people around with them. But pal, this is a very easy one to overcome. For you to say this, you got to be as blind as anybody can be. And I'll tell you, for you people following these idiots, you deserve it too. But I pray for him too, and I pray for all you other people. As long as anyone's alive out here, I love him still, I pray for him, even though I abhor him. Some of them I abhor so much I like to kill him. And some I would even kill quicker than others. But I still pray for him. But still, wake up. All right, now I got to tell you about this guy, Michael Youssef. He's another Protestant guy who believes that all you got to do is believe in Jesus and you're saved. And he's on cable TV, and he gets on there, he gives his little ass to try to call people to come to Jesus. And all you got to do is believe in Jesus. He said, we're living in horrible times, fearful times. All these things are happening. But I'm here to tell you, you can have peace. You can have peace in your home right now if you accept Jesus Christ. He come to Jesus Christ. He asks nothing of you. You just come to him. He said he asks nothing of you. That's what he said.
Hello, I'm Michael Youssef. Lately, we are hearing so many conflicting voices. And I don't blame you if you are anxious and worried and troubled. But if I told you that there is only one voice that you can absolutely trust. After all, he wants nothing from you and wants to give you everything. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, come unto me, all who are carrying heavy burdens and worry and anxiety, and I will give you rest. He's the only one who can give you true rest and peace. Will you come to him?
Asks nothing of you. I mean, you know what? There you are. Just believe in me. But he does ask belief, right? Okay. Other than belief, right? Believe in me, and he asks nothing else of you. You can do whatever you want. I ask nothing from you. When you go to heaven, I ask nothing from you. You can continue on with your fornications and your slobberies and all your sins. I ask nothing from you. That was so gross when I heard it. It hit me like a baseball bat over the head. He was being honest according to his heresy. That is what you believe. Jesus Christ doesn't ask anything of you. You human beings who have sons and daughters, and you ask stuff from them. You tell them what they must do. You tell them how they must behave. We have laws that tell people what they must do. But Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the lawgiver, doesn't ask nothing of you. Nothing at all. You stupid piece of crap. You dumb idiot. You deserve what you get. But as bad as it sounds, you put it right the way it is. That's what you believe. The lawgiver himself asks nothing of you. Just believe in him. Why, you a little lowly worm asks something from other people. So a boss asks his people who work under him to do things. You tell your sons and daughters to do things. You're an idiot. An absolute devil. And this stuff is rampant. I'll tell you something. They're the only ones preaching, though. The nominal Catholics got their heads up their behinds and they're not doing anything. They don't even know the Bible. They're worse than them. But this is bad. Now do you see how bad you are? Now repent and convert before it's too late. Look what we got here now. And I'm going to end this lecture with the fact that even belief is a work in itself. This is just a minor point, but even belief is a work. And Jesus says this in John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he has sent. The work of God, that even belief is work. But the whole thing is ironic, because if you just got to believe in Jesus, why did he show up at your church? Why do you pray? Why do you do anything? Why don't you just do your altar call and go home? Go your own way. Because they don't believe in any church, any organized church where you got a hierarchy or anything. This is such a horrible This is one of the most stupidest things to believe in. It's so bad. It's like Obama when he came out and he said, I read the Bible, but I support homosexuals getting married. And I think homosexuality is okay. But he says, I read the Bible. You Protestants aren't much better. You say I can be saved by faith alone. I don't need to do works, keep the commandments. Matter of fact, another Protestant, I'll paraphrase what he said. I don't have his exact words. It's Pastor Jeffries. He's got a lot of, they say a lot of good things, folks, but that doesn't mean anything. You can say 10 good things. It's the one bad thing that sends you to hell. And really bad, too, because with faith without works is chaos. Well, this Pastor Jeffries came out. He gave a list of these sins that St. Paul said. And he said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he stuttered a little bit. He knew he was kind of stuck. And he went, well, I don't even really know the exact words, he said, but he tried to cover himself. Well, you need to do these, but if you do, he said, here's what he tried to say. Well, if you believe and you're a Christian, you're going to do these things. You're going to do these things. That's sort of what he's saying. No, he's not saying you're going to do these things. He's saying you may not do these things. He's saying you should do these things, but it doesn't mean you're going to do these things. That's what he tried to say. That if I'm a real Christian, I believe in Jesus, I'm naturally going to do these things. Oh, look at it. Even Catholics, from the beginning of day one, that's why he's talking to believers, and they say, no, a lot of you ain't going to do these things. As a matter of fact, most of you ain't going to do these things. Many are called, a few are chosen. Matthew 20:16. Matthew 7:13. Enter the narrow gate. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few are that find it. Here, this guy, he stumbled on his words. I like to replay what he said. It made no sense whatsoever. And they get stuck. Doesn't he go home and think that, like even I do when I don't have my right interpretations and I knew I said something wrong, I do my best to pray to God and get the right translation and the right interpretation. Don't you do the same? No, you don't. Because right now, the way you are, you're an obstinate liar. You've been around a long time and you're doing the same thing. I still pray for guys and him too, Cord. Maybe he'll listen to me and wake up. If he becomes a true Christian, which means becomes true Catholic, I'd be gladder than it. I'd let him preach till kingdom come, because he has a lot of good things, he says, but it doesn't matter. Don't be deceived by all the good things they say. There are some that are better than others. And I'll end this lecture by one thing. I'm not just picking on Protestants. Nominal Catholics are worse than Protestants. The Vatican II Church is way worse than Pastor Jeffrey. This guy's more conservative than anybody speaking compared to these bastards. Nominal Catholics make me ashamed. And I'll end it by saying we're the only true Catholics in the whole world that I know of, right here in Mary's Little Remnant and TRC, and I'm doing my lectures out here in outside of 1.5 miles or 1 mile outside of Williamsburg in Sierra County on my ranch, Mary's Little Ranch. Okay? So I'm going to end this Christmas season lecture saying I'm yelling at you. Yes, I yelled at myself too. I was a bastard. I was a pagan. I was a slob myself. I'm not trying to do it to be holier than now. And I do love you. And I do want you to convert and come to the church before it's too late. And the only place where you're going to be able to save your soul and also fight with us in these final days against the imminent coming of the Antichrist. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. For more information on Faith Without Works is Dead, see my RGMI topic index on my website, the St. John the Baptist website, on the titled Faith, the Law, and Works Are Necessary for Salvation. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.